This is the Perfect Pup Podcast, helping you build a better relationship with your pup, presented by Pupford. Hello, pup parents, and welcome to today's episode of the Perfect Pup Podcast. My name is Devin. I'm super excited for today's episode. We not only have one guest, we have two guests here with us. We have Nicole. Thanks so much for coming on, Nicole. We're so excited to have you.
Thanks for having me. And this is Rossi, who's also joining us. My other dog, Maggie, is here, but she's taking a little working break. So
we all need working breaks from time to time.
Exactly. It's working really hard today.
Yeah. So we're super excited for this episode. We're going to be covering a topic that I find really important and has been like a focus of your career, Nicole, is just like building trust with our dogs and how to build that trust and that communication. So we're going to dive into that today. But before we do, I'm going to give an intro of Nicole for those of you who maybe haven't met her yet. So she's a CPDTKA trainer, author, celebrity dog trainer, AKC evaluator. She's been on TV shows. I'm sure we'll talk a little more about that, but she's been on places like the Today Show, NBC, ABC, and odds are you've seen some of her dogs in commercials. And also, she loves horses. She has a horse, and she is a Totoro. Totoro, did I say that right?
Totoro.
I know what it is. I find it super intriguing. Some people might not, but I think it's a super cool like little niche.
Absolutely.
Anime, right? Like it falls under the anime category.
Anime meets cartoon meets fantasy meets everything amazing.
It is amazing. I love it. So did I miss anything on that bio, or did I get most of it?
You got most of it. You're good. I'm sure we'll jump into some more of it.
For sure. And let's do it. Let's dive right in, because, you know, I think a lot of us as pup parents, especially for these listeners who are, it's their first time having a dog, you know, that sometimes we get into our head of like, do I have enough trust with my dog? Like, am I doing anything to hurt the relationship? So maybe before we dive into how to build the relationship or how to, you know, build trust, like what have you seen as a trainer and just in your own experience, like what do pup parents do sometimes that can break trust with our dogs?
Absolutely. So there's two ways to get into it. One is building trust and one is breaking trust, and also the ways we can see and use trust. So the ways we can break it is being obviously not nice. Same with humans. If someone's not nice to you and lies to you, you're not going to like them. You're not going to trust them. And it's the same with our animals. So all my training is positive reinforcement. It's fun. It's enjoyable. And I do everything with my dogs. We hike together. We paddleboard. We ride horses and motorcycles together. But they trust me. That's why they're able to do so much with me. If I was mean to him, I kicked him, I pulled his hair and tugged on him, he's not going to trust me. Mm. And it's the same as in a human relationship. It's the same with me and my dog. We want to build up that trust. And then we can dive into things we can do to keep that trust as well, because there's like obviously two sides of all of this. And then a lot of times people are under the consumption, like, I just got a dog, he's not trusting me. A lot of it's time. So you can't expect a new dog, and we don't know always what their background is, especially you get a dog from a shelter or rescue or even a previous family. They might have had some sort of experience that has shaped them, and it's made them a little bit more cautious, which is fine. You just might need a little bit more time to build that trust. And to me, trust is so important and something worth building on. It's not, to me, they're family members, and I want to make sure my pets are comfortable. And I think trust goes with happiness and it goes with their well-being. He's not stressed out. Stress leads to medical problems, leads to health issues. So many clinical signs that we can see. So we want to keep them happy, free, and in a trusting, loving environment. Like I said, because my dogs trust me, we can do so many new things together and they're going to go with me. They know everything's going to be okay. I've never set them up to get hurt. I've never asked them to do something that's going to lead them into a bad situation. And that's important to think about as we're training and doing things. I always set my dogs up for success so they know everything's going to be okay no matter what. I did a book called Working Like a Dog with a friend of mine that's on working dogs. And these are police military dogs. We did cancer detecting dogs, bed bug dogs, and there's a lot of fun, silly ones. But we also have ones where people had a life-threatening allergy to something like latex, and we worked with these dogs, and their person's trust is in that dog because it literally is their life. But the same thing goes with that dog. They've built up this really strong bond, And that means they can go out into the world together and they're going to be trusting each other. And that's just so huge in your partnership together.
I love that. And I think the point that you make that it's so similar to human relationships, right? Like if you meet someone new, or if you have a friend or a family member who maybe the trust has been broken, like you need to spend more time together. You need to do things that are going to prove to that person that they can trust you still. And it's the same thing with our dogs. So I love that comparison. So going on the kind of the working dogs thread, because I think like you were saying, that level of trust is so high. And yeah. I know that you have that with your dogs as well. So like, what are some techniques that like you've seen can really help increase the trust between human and dog?
Absolutely. So number one thing is time. Service dog teams don't even get paired up right away. These dogs go into training for years, and it takes a while once they're connected to really get that bond going. It's not an overnight thing. And while you might have a dog that loves you and is cuddly, I don't know what he's doing.
He's just showing off.
Yeah. He's like, hi, everybody. Here's my little lip. that it really is, he can be loving and cuddly, but there's more to it to build up trust. And that's the biggest thing is going to be time and being patient. And one thing I always recommend is being consistent. So I set my dogs up that they know if I ask them to do something, it's going to have a good reward. It's going to be something enjoyable. I'm not going to set them up for something that's going to be negative for them and not fun for them. Even setting them up for successive vet visits, which can be stressful, I teach them ahead of time how to trust me in those type of situations so that they will be okay. And consistency, they know when dinner is, they know when certain things are, they can trust me to deliver the needed things and then also fun things. They can trust me. We're going to have fun when I take him hiking. It's not going to be a day when it's going to be too hot that he's going to be in pain or he's going to hurt his feet or something. It's caring for their well-being as well. And then I think doing things together that you both enjoy. I'm not going to bring him places he's not going to enjoy. It's not right as a pet parent, as nobody should. But in the end, I take him places that he loves and we're building up our bond. We get to see new things together, go new places. He's busy smelling the world. And I think that's so huge. It's not just about sitting at home together. Even if you're more limited and it's just going for longer walks in your neighborhood and spending one-on-one time, you don't need to be doing crazy adventures like I do, but you can do things that are different. We can play games together at home where we're interacting together. It's not just a dog in the house that I feed him and I ignore him. We're going to do fun things where we get to learn together and bond together, and doing so that trust really grows. And as a dog trainer, I of course have to say training. I think training's so huge, and people are often confused how long to really train your dog for. My training sessions are 10, 15 minutes long. My dogs can skateboard, do handstands, and do all sorts of crazy stuff. And it's such a small commitment that I really think anybody can make it. Maybe it's after dinner time before you go to bed, but that little bit of time makes such a difference in your dog's life. I know. And I hear it all the time where people want to just teach one thing, like, oh, they got an iFetch toy and they want to teach their dog to do it. And doing so, like, oh my God, we bonded so much. He's learning to trust me. And like, I didn't know he could learn, and they want to learn more. So just spending a few minutes a day is how you can make such a huge difference in your dog's life. I just finished filming, or a little bit earlier this year, a TV show for Amazon that's coming out later this year called The Pack. And we do a worldwide adventure, think Amazing Race, but with dogs and people. I'm not competing, but I train the dogs. And we spend a long time training these dogs in Los Angeles ahead of time to make sure they're set up for success so that they could build that bond. And as we travel country to country, you can really see the bond growing, the trust going. And these are things these dogs haven't seen before. But throughout all this training, we did training. It was all positive. It was all fun. And then they're doing things together. They were consistent. And I think it's going to be fun. Everyone's going to love to see it. But seeing that bond really shine.
I love that. And I think that's a huge reminder for everybody, because I think no matter where you're at with your dog, how old they are, where you're at in like the training stage, just those few minutes a day, putting the effort in, I think like the overarching theme I get from like what you're saying is we have to put in the effort, right? As pup parents, we can't just sit back and think, well, I'm feeding my dog and I take him on a walk a day. Like they should be fine, right? Like there's so much more that goes into it.
And then I think part of it's too, like, thinking about what we're asking. So I have had some clients that are like, when I call him from outside to come in, he doesn't want to come in. And I'm like, well, he's had so much fun outside. And every time you call him, you're leaving, you're putting him in his crate. It's not enjoyable. So instead, do some fun games where coming becomes fun. Build up that trust where it's not going to be, I go inside and I leave you. Like, come inside and he gets a Kong. He gets something special. So we can teach him positive associations. And all of a sudden he's going to trust you. I'm going to come inside. We're going to go somewhere fun. It's same thing. Like, if you only put your dog in the car to go to the vet, he's probably not going to want to go in the car soon. He's not going to trust you. Because he's like, oh, every time we go that bad, not fun place. But instead we build up that trust and we say, hey, we're going to do fun things together. And every now and then might be a not fun, so bad appointment, but where you build up that trust where those negative associations are a lot less greater than the positive ones. I know.
I can see the level of trust right now.
He's like, hi, I need a cuddle.
Yeah. I love that though. And I think that's super important, again, for all of us to remember, like, put yourself in your dog's shoes for a little bit, right? Like, if every time you ask them to do something, there's a not so fun thing that happens after, you're going to stop doing that just like a human would. So I love that reminder. One other kind of quick question on this note, because I bet there are a lot of parents who are listening to this or watching this and saying, but my trust isn't great with my dog right now. I've been trying to do these things, or, you know, maybe they just got a rescue. And like you said, rescues, we don't always know their history. We don't know the background. Absolutely. How do you, like, if someone is struggling with this, like, what are, like, maybe a couple games that you play or a couple, like, you know, training things that you'll do to really just kind of help your dog, like, maybe break out of their shell a little bit and start to trust a little bit more?
Absolutely. And so I think there's two sides of this. I hear a lot where people don't trust their dog, like, on a walk or going somewhere. And then there's also the other aspect of, like, we just aren't bonded yet and we don't have that trust yet. So similar answers is, first of all, take your training inside. I take it in a familiar environment. So even if you have a new dog, I always give him a few days decompress in your home. He'll get to know your house. The outside world is a whole different thing. There's different smells, different sights, and it's scary. So even my own training, I always tell my clients, start indoors, start in your living room, start in your bedroom. One, there's less distractions. So you're not outside and there's like a butterfly and the grass smells great and a dog might have peed on this tree. Start inside and keep it simple. So my training, maybe a new thing, might be 5 minutes. And it's not always the goal I had in mind, but I want to keep it so simple that he can't lose. Mm-hmm. He's going to win at it. And that's going to build up my confidence and it's going to build up his confidence. And it might be so simple, but throw him a party. Tell him how great he did on that simple, simple training. And then you can make it a little bit harder step by step. And it might be something like sit and just really building up your sit and then trying it in different rooms and having fun. I love doing basic stuff. Like, a touch behavior is one of my favorite, and a watch me behavior, just keeping eye contact. And that's something I teach 9-week-old puppies. And I've taught senior dogs. Maggie's 12 and she's learning new things. So you can teach them these things at any age, no matter where they came from. And so while they might learn at different speeds and they might have to overcome some obstacles based on their past, start with these simple, fun behaviors. Do it inside and have fun together. And often we get frustrated. It's new to us. It's new to them. It's natural. So try to end it on a good note. Let's say you're teaching a stay and you want him to stay for 30 seconds and he's not doing it. That's okay. Say, I'm going to end it on 5 seconds. He's going to nail it. I'm going to reward it. We had fun. So we don't want to end it negatively because then nobody ever wants to do training together. I love playing with games inside our house. It's fun for them. It's fun for me. So giving them toys that, like, have treats inside. They can chase them around the house, explore the house doing that. Work their noses and get that mental enrichment. I love licky mats. You guys have a licky mat. That's amazing. Being able to use that and get him using his nose, using his mouth, and we can do fun things together with that. So fun ways to just get our dogs thinking. And even if we're just sitting next to them, talking to them, bonding with them while they work is fun too. And I'm a huge fan of scent work. And I think it's something anybody can do. My dog Maggie found my phone when I lost it a mile into Joshua Tree while hiking. Wow. Based on scent work. And I just did it because she's older and I wanted a way to keep doing training and do our bond. And I didn't start with her till she was 10 years old. And I just thought it'd be a fun thing for us. And dogs, we all know they like to sniff. Mm-hmm. So giving them a job where they get to actually use that is so huge, but it really builds up a dog's confidence. And they're going to learn to work without you. And they're also going to learn to trust you and follow you as you tell them where to work. So I think scent work is huge. You can do little games in your house. So like putting a treat against a wall and letting your dog see it, hold your dog back and tell him, go find it. And then moving it farther and farther, putting it under things and letting him sniff out those treats. They're going to have fun doing that. And you will too. And you get to work in your training of like having them stay, telling them when to search. And you can really get into it with different odors and finding human odors and stuff like that. Like my dogs are trained on me and that's how she found my phone. But scent work's a huge way to really increase your dog's confidence and to work together. I learned more about my dog's body language doing that than anything else. And what's amazing is they pick up your body language too doing it. So that's going to build up that communication between the two of you. And your dog doesn't need any training, any obedience training. You could have a crazy puppy. You can have a crazy older dog and they could still love it and still have fun at it, which is so important. And then obviously I like tricks. So I tell everyone, do trick training. Who doesn't love doing cute tricks? And then your dogs will love it. And you get to build that bond that way too.
I love all of that. That's super powerful insights. And I just want to like echo my love for scent work too. I've got a 14 and a half year old puggle. And so he's got that beagle in him. And man, he loves sniffing. And so we've started using more snuffle mats and doing like hide and seek with treats and, you know, taking him on walks where it's like, okay, you lead the way, you know, like you guide us, like wherever your nose wants to take you, let's do it. And I think all of that needs like, sometimes we need a reset as pup parents to realize like, okay, we might want our, you know, we might be frustrated with X, Y, and Z behavior, but like, let's do some things that are fun for the dog. And in turn, like you're saying, it's going to build that communication, build that trust, and just overall your dog's going to be more confident. And then what I've seen, like you're saying, it makes them more likely to want to listen to you and engage with you and be with you and just be a part of your little group.
Yeah. I say like finding fun things is so important. I had a family this week who just got a new lab and they're so overwhelmed. They have two kids of their own and they're like, what did we do? And they're so focused on like, okay, what's the crate time? We need to work on sit. We need to do this. And I'm like, you guys are like up to your ears in stress. Have fun together. I was like telling them games, like have one kid stand in one area, you stand in another area and just practice calling the puppy and have fun letting him run into each of you and give him little treats. And everyone can be involved. It doesn't need to be stressful. It should be fun having a dog. So finding things that they can have fun on, and we don't need to follow strict rules, just enjoying each other, I think is so huge. I mean, of course, spend time cuddling too. It doesn't need to all be like, sit, stay, watch, enjoy your time on the couch, petting each other and like loving on your dog. I mean, that's one of the things they're amazing for.
Agreed. I have three dogs and they sleep in our bed. So I'm like, I get a lot of cuddles and you can't beat it, you know?
Especially during this time where we're all home a lot. I think it's the best time. And it's a great opportunity for us to spend a little bit more time with our dogs. And like you said, it could be simple things like snuffle mats and enrichments that we don't have to be too involved, but we're working our pets and they're going to be growing. And that to me is non-replaceable. It's so important.
Agreed, 100%. I have learned a lot in this episode. I know our listeners have as well. Before we wrap up and end, any points that I didn't cover, or anything that you're thinking about trust, or if anyone's feeling down or needing like a pick-me-up, any kind of final advice that you have for building your trust with your dog?
Just take a step back, forget your goals for a minute, and just enjoy each other. Think of something fun and simple to work on, something you've always wanted to learn, like something silly, teaching your dog to spin in a circle. Take a stress off of, he's barking at dogs outside on our walks, and just take it down a little bit and enjoy your time together and have fun. And I think you'll see that new spark come out, which is really worth it all.
Great advice. Thank you again so much for coming on. I've loved chatting with you. Of course, love seeing your dogs in the cam with the, oh, there we go.
Maggie saying bye.
Woke up.
Got our bedhead going.
I love it. I love it. So for all of you listening and watching, I will have information. If you're watching or listening, it'll be in like the show notes or the description where you can connect with Nicole, learn more about what she's doing, check out her books, all that good stuff. And for those of you who are watching, please like and subscribe. If you're listening, leave us a review. We read all those reviews and we love getting feedback on the type of episodes you like and things you would like us to add in or even topics you want us to cover. So if you haven't already, leave us a review and we will check that out. And for Nicole, thanks again for coming
on.
And thanks for everyone else, thanks for joining in. We will catch you on the next episode.